It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The minority leader in the New York State Senate, Rob Ort. Senator, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Joe.
Senator, I want to start with some audio. I know there's a lot to recap the end of the legislative session, but this is something I talked about earlier this week, and I want to play you two clips. This is a clip from Governor Kathy Hochul less than a year ago.
We are going to be the very first state in the nation, the very first city in America to have a congestion pricing plan. We are setting the standard right here in real time for how we can achieve cleaner air, safer streets, and better transit.
And this was Kathy Hochul less than a year later on Wednesday.
I want to talk to you today about issues that are very much on the minds of New Yorkers. First and foremost, I understand the financial pressures you're facing. Over the last 5 years, New Yorkers have seen the price of groceries alone go up an average of 23%.
Now, she goes on and on, but you get the idea. So, Senator, I have to get your thoughts. What happened in less than 365 days for the governor to realize the economic struggles of New Yorkers?
Well, the only thing that changed was, I guess, her poll numbers or the polling the Democrats are doing out there that have come back and shown that over the last year, the economy and the affordability issue for New Yorkers specifically is the number one issue. I mean, crime, the migrant crisis, obviously educate. You know, there's all kinds of issues out there, but there's absolutely no question that the affordability and New Yorkers' minds are on their wallets, and the fact that more and more money, is going out of them, so to speak, and they're very concerned about their ability to stay here in New York and to afford the life that they want for them, for their families. But that's it. I mean, there's nothing else that has changed. Everything, the Senate Republican Conference specifically, and others, talked about the all the kind of challenges of congestion pricing. We obviously voted against it when it was passed. It was passed by Senate Democrats, by Assembly Democrats, obviously signed into law by the governor. I think it was initially pushed by Governor Cuomo, and then Governor Hochul jumped onto it. But this was a tax. It was essentially a tax to go into the city of New York. So if you live on Long Island, if you live in Rockland County, if you live in the Hudson Valley, a lot of those folks drive into New York to work, by the way. And they go into New York to work, and they're going to be taxed to go in to work to do their job or to go see their loved ones or whatever it might be. And essentially, the governor is saying, after championing this issue, after going to Ireland less than a year ago, a few months ago, she went to Ireland and said the same thing she said in that clip a year ago, and then all of a sudden she pulls the rug out. Now, I'm glad that the congestion pricing is not going forward at the current time. But this looks fairly transparent, first of all, that all she's doing is pausing this till after the November elections. That's all this is because she's concerned about Democrats in Congress and Democrats in the state legislature's ability to get reelected campaigning on this issue of congestion pricing, of taxing people to get into the city of New York in critical districts, right down in the Hudson Valley, down in Long Island, and in parts of New York. So this is a very transparent political move. I don't think she's fooling anybody. And I will tell you this, the Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats who all voted for this, we're going to remind voters down in those districts in the Hudson Valley and in Long Island and New York that they voted for it. And as soon as the election's over, I promise you, congestion pricing will be back, especially if Governor Kathy Hochul And Senate Democrats, and if only Democrats have anything to say about it.
Yeah, that was my next question. I mean, I know here in Western New York, we're used to spending a lot of money on incomplete projects, but $500 million on the technology already installed in the congestion pricing zone. I mean, to me, it seems pretty clear that November 6th, they're going to flip the switch.
Yeah, well, and so that's the issue that maybe some of your listeners should know, is that because this had been voted on and had been law and was signed in, was essentially, this was due to take effect, I think, later this month. So the MTA, largest transit authority, certainly in the country, it essentially had spent all the money to basically, you know, roll out the congestion pricing. I think there was, you know, cameras and a lot of other equipment that had to be put in place. And so now the revenue from congestion pricing, which was obviously the big push or maybe the big incentive to do this, the revenue is now not going to be realized, but the expenses to put the program in place have been realized. And so there's a several hundred million dollar, if not close to $1 billion deficit, if you would, in the MTA's budget as a result of this. So this is another example of bad Democrat policy in New York that has now led to a fiscal problem for the city of New York, for the Transit Authority. And of course, that means a fiscal problem for all of New York. That's why it matters to everybody here, is because ultimately, some way, somehow, if congestion pricing doesn't go forward, what will happen, or will have to happen, is the state of New York will have to come in and somehow bail out the MTA or fund that budget hole, that budget gap that now exists as a result of failed New York state policy. It's very similar. I compared it to the migrant crisis. We have sanctuary policies in the city of New York. The city of New York has sanctuary city policies. That's why 190,000 illegal immigrants have come and taken shelter and residence in New York City. And then as a result of that, the city of New York says, well, we need money from the state to help us, you know, offset these expenses. And so the state of New York has spent over $4 billion the last 2 years to the city of New York as a result. So it's a very similar thing where you have a policy, a failed wrong policy, and then that as a result of that policy, you know, you have a fiscal issue that then the entire state is on the hook for. So somehow, some way, either congestion pricing will have to go back into effect, which I believe it will after the election, unless Democrats really pay a huge price at the ballot box, which I think they may, or we're going to have to go back, Joe. The legislature is going to have to go back, and no doubt the Democrats will try to push. I mean, the governor actually floated an MTA payroll tax. So just switching one tax for another, which I found ridiculous, and obviously my colleagues across the aisle even found ridiculous because they didn't do that. So somehow, some way, you're not getting out of this without increasing taxes or finding more money or going back to congestion pricing at some point. And that's sort of the predicament and the fiasco that we saw here the last week in Albany.
Something to keep an eye on. Now, you called the 2024 legislative session an epic failure for New Yorkers. Let's start with the illegal aliens, the migrant situation here in New York. We know the president has signed an executive order at the southern border. What's been done at the state level for those already in the state?
Yeah, nothing has been done to change the flow of migrants coming to New York. So whatever. You know, this is another example, if you want to talk about the president as well, this is another example of just Democrats at the national level, because make no mistake, when the governor went to Washington a couple of days ago, it was Joe Biden, it was Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries who went to her on the congestion pricing thing. They were the ones who were in her ear saying this is going to be bad for Democrats across New York at the federal level and local level. And that's what led to her sudden epiphany that congestion pricing was going to be a problem. But also on the migrant issue, you know, the president suddenly, as he's now moving into the you know, sort of the heat of the campaign, the presidential campaign, you know, realizing that the border, this idea that the border is just completely open and porous and nothing is really being done. And by the way, it's been a change from day one of the Biden administration. Every American knows that during the 4 years of the Trump administration, this was simply not a real issue. In fact, immigration, illegal crossings dropped to historic levels. Now it's the other way. It's historically as bad as it's ever been. And our communities here in New York and here in Western New York have felt the impact of that. But what New York's policies in place basically provide sanctuary in the city of New York and across the state of New York. And as a result, we've seen, you know, like I said, 190,000 migrants that have come to New York State and have been settled in tent cities and hotels all over the place. You know, obviously, their children are enrolled in schools. So New Yorkers are paying the bill on this. And we simply called for Lincoln's Law to simply do very, very simple steps here in New York that would allow when a migrant who comes here, and this has happened multiple times now, and you know this and your listeners know this, we've had migrants here in Western New York that have committed crimes, right? They've been arrested for rape, assault, kidnapping. We've had migrants who've been arrested for shoplifting across the state, especially in New York. We had a migrant who shot at two police officers. This person was in the country illegally and managed to get a firearm in faster time than it would take you or I. I'm a permit holder to go through that process. You know, it's ridiculous. It is utterly ridiculous what's going on. And yet we have laws in New York that actually protect migrants or prevent local law enforcement from notifying federal immigration authorities that those folks are here. Nothing was done on Lincoln's Law. Of course, it was named for Lincoln Riley, who was murdered, I think it was in North Carolina, by an illegal immigrant who actually had been arrested here in New York. And it was the federal authorities were never notified. So after he was released with a desk appearance ticket because of cashless bail, he ultimately fled New York, not surprisingly, went to another state and ultimately killed the young lady, Lincoln Riley. And that law is named for her. We should be providing sanctuaries, Joe, for Lincoln Rileys of the world, not for Jose Ibarra's, who was the migrant who's was arrested in her murder. So nothing was really done on that front. And as a result, we did spend, you know, $2+ billion in this year's budget to go to New York City for the migrant crisis. Nothing was done, which means next year, I expect, absent a change in, you know, in policy, I expect we will have to spend another $2+ billion to go to New York City on top of whatever we're going to send to them for the congestion pricing debacle.
So does there seem to be anyone on the other side willing to compromise, willing to side with Republicans when it comes to this issue?
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste because you know all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think there may be a handful. No one that has stepped forward. And I tell you why. I mean, you may know why. Your listeners know why. Some of them just really don't believe it. Some of them, they don't believe any attempt to secure the border, any attempt to allow law enforcement to actually do their job and support the Constitution, the federal Constitution, federal law, as well as state law, is seen as racist. It's seen as, you know, xenophobic. It's just seen as not in keeping with I don't know, their values. And I say their values because they're certainly not my values. They're not the values of, I think, most New Yorkers or most Americans. But that is the view, certainly down in New York City and parts of New York State. But I also think because, and I forget who it was that said this in Albany one time, but I think it was a Republican from the Assembly, said, ever since the election of Donald Trump in 2016, 2017, because he made securing the border such a central platform of his campaign, of his presidency, Democrats, who of course couldn't stand him, it was like they had to go the opposite way. So if he wants to secure the border, we literally want to unsecure the border. You know, it's sort of like the argument if Republicans want to fund the police departments, we want to defund the police. We just live in this moment where you have to be the 180 of your opponent, right, in some cases. So for Democrats, any talk about securing the border while Donald Trump is running for president is seen as basically siding with Trump on this issue. And I think for them, that is just a politically untenable thing, even for those who might actually believe it. And that's just the moment we live in. But it absolutely is the right thing. And I think it is most New Yorkers and most Americans at this point are saying you have to secure the border. And it was Joe Biden. Joe Biden's executive orders from day one that he took office that has contributed largely to the national border issue, and it is New York State sanctuary policies in the city and the state that have absolutely contributed to the crisis here in New York, and we have done nothing about that. So for those who say, well, it's the federal government, you know, the Congress and the nonsense, there are things that we could do right here. The mayor of New York could do it. The governor of New York could do it. The legislature in New York could do it. And there are laws that we have put forward that would do it. And they've taken no action. They've taken no action. And I think New Yorkers should know that. And I hope do know that.
You also mentioned the anti-Semitic that's been going around New York State. We've seen the signs on some of the campuses during the protest a few months ago. You pushed a bill to protect Jewish New Yorkers. Did that get any support on the other side?
Amazingly, it did not. I mean, now, look, do I think that there are not Democrats in the state Senate who would support such a measure? I do. I sincerely do. Are they the majority of that conference? I don't know anymore, Joe. You know, there was a day when that bill would have sailed through the New York State legislature. New York State, of course, is home to the largest amount of Jews outside of the nation of Israel. I mean, so New York State has a lot. There's a lot of Jewish residents here in New York. There's a lot of dual citizens, Israeli and American, who live in New York. When I went to Israel, I just in my own travels, meeting Israelis, I met several who grew up in New York and then had moved. You know, when they became an adult, they moved back to Israel and they still had family in New York. And so there is a deep, long-standing connection between the state of New York and between the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And the idea that we as a state would tolerate and in some cases, you know, support Hamas protesters or Hamas and support the cause of Hamas is unbelievable, that Jewish students would feel unsafe or would literally be unsafe on college campuses, that they would be prevented from going to class. They would be prevented from walking across the stage to get their diploma, that, you know, that we have legislators in New York who actually are passing or proposing laws that would deprive non-for-profits of their funding because they support you know, the nation of Israel or Jews over in Israel. That is now the new battlefront in Albany. And like I said, it's sad that New York State, which was home, of course, to 9/11, which was a seminal moment in my life, and I know a lot of other people's. I always remind people that Al Qaeda, in their philosophy, and the people who attacked us that day, had a very similar philosophy to Hamas, almost identical. You would not be able to separate Osama bin Laden's philosophy from Hamas's philosophy, and yet we have people, young people, who a few miles away at Columbia University from Ground Zero were chanting, you know, from the river to the sea and supporting a group that absolutely supports death to America and what happened on 9/11. So it's just it's the world we're in right now. We have to recognize it, and I think that's what's on the ballot in a way. Those are the stakes as we move towards November.
I know you and I talked about the budget a month or so ago, but I was I interviewed someone from the Illinois legislature, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and I realized we have more people in New York State, okay? But Illinois, a pretty blue state, has a $53 billion budget. I mean, again, only 7 million less people. It's just... And again, I know we're a month past this, but I mean, just how do some justify $237 billion?
Well, I mean, you probably could do a show all week on this and on the New York State budget. I have long said, and I think it's important that you do what you're doing, because I don't think most New Yorkers probably don't know, A, what our budget actually is, and B, if they do, they may not understand how that compares to other states, right? The feeling might be, well, it's New York State, we have 20 million people, and therefore it's a big budget. But I've often said our budget, you know, is larger than Florida and Texas combined, and they have significantly, each of them, more people than New York. California, while it has a bigger budget, it has way more people than the state of New York. I think almost might be almost double. And their budget is not double the state of New York. And then you have Illinois with 7 million less people, and their budget is significantly lower than New York. So I think it's hard for me to tell you why the Democrats, you know, all the but I always have said they view spending more money, first of all, as somehow they're doing more, that if they can spend more money, they're doing more good. But they're also, what they're doing is there's a huge not-for-profit slash political industrial complex that happens in New York and in Albany, the city of New York and across the state as a result of the state budget. And all of these groups for many years, they come in and they depend on funding from the state of New York to do whatever they do. Some of them do, no doubt, good things, but a lot of them do quasi-political things. And they're, you know, they come in and they are Democratic leaning groups, and the Democrats who control the legislature are going to make sure that money continues to flow to those groups across the city, across the state. But keep in mind, since Democrats took over in 2019, Joe, this is an important. I'll end with this on this topic. So in 2019, they took over. The budget stood at $175 billion. Since then, it has ballooned in 6 years to $239 billion. So it's almost gone up the entire Illinois budget in those 6 years. It's not far off from the entire Illinois budget. That's how much it's gone up in just 6 years of total one-party control in the state of New York.
Unbelievable. My final question to you as this legislative session ends, is there anything else that, you know, you were hoping to pass that didn't? And what is going to be your focus going into the next legislative session?
Well, I want to touch on, actually, that there was something that didn't pass that I'm glad didn't pass. It actually passed the Senate, which is the packaging reform. This is a bill that would have essentially banned, you know, Kraft singles, like the packaging that Kraft singles come in, Lunchables, Philadelphia cream cheese, the package you get with like the ketchup and mustard at McDonald's, any single use plastic container would have absolutely been banned under this law. It was a very controversial piece of legislation. A lot of opposition from labor groups, certainly from anybody, almost any business that exists in New York that has an association. They memoed against this bill. The Senate Democrats passed this bill. We debated it for 2 hours on the Senate floor. And Senator Borello, Senator O'Mara, Senator Helming, and others did a great job highlighting the complete flaws in this bill. But this would have added $500 to the average family's grocery bill here in New York. And ultimately, it did not pass the New York State Assembly. And I'm very grateful that it did not. This would have been, you talk about affordability, and the governor is getting rid of congestion pricing to, you know, save the city of New York from, and yet at the same time, the Senate Democrats, who absolutely support congestion pricing, they're supporting a bill. They passed a bill, not unanimously, I will add, meaning they didn't have all Democrats support this bill, but they passed a bill ultimately that would have added $500 to the average homeowner or family's grocery bill here in the state of New York at a time when most New Yorkers would tell you grocery prices are already sky high. So that did not pass. I don't always give kudos to the New York State Assembly, the Democrat Assembly, but for whatever reason, maybe they just ran out of time. They did not pass that legislation. And that is a good thing. That is at least one bullet dodged for families here in the state of New York who are already getting killed when they go to the grocery store when it comes to food prices. So was very happy to see that. You know, next session, look at Joe, what I would say is I hope that next session we have more Republicans in the state Senate Republican Conference. We have more Republicans in the state Assembly Republican Conference, and hopefully more balance in the legislature. And I think that can result in a very different kind of session next year, and what policy gets passed, what policies don't get passed, and where the conversation centers on. That's going to be my focus between now and November, and I am hopeful and optimistic that when I'm talking to you, you know, next January, there's a different dynamic at play in the state Senate and in the state Assembly.
I look forward to that, but I also hope we talk again before then. State Senator Rob Ort, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks, Joe.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.